Cool.
It seems really loud. Is it loud? Seems really loud. You move it down? I'll move it down. You're all right. You're good. I think I'm a little excited this morning. Maybe that's why it's so loud. Buzz? Huh? Huh? Good to be in the house of the Lord? It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I just about didn't come up here this morning because Dwayne pretty much just preached the whole sermon. Huh? Isn't that cool? Huh? Preached the whole sermon. So it changed me up a little bit, but that's okay. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer and see where He's going to go with this morning. Precious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before Your precious throne. Father, we love You. We don't understand why You love us sometimes, but Father, we're just so thankful that You do. Father, as we come before You this morning, we just want to look at Your Word, apply it to our life. Father, we can just know You better and understand that everything that comes against us, You've already been there. And Father, You're with us through the whole thing. We just praise You for that. Father, we thank You. Father, we just want to worship You this morning in spirit and truth. And Father, just use me as a vessel. Just open my mind and my heart to You. You can use me this morning, Father. In Your precious and holy and wonderful name we pray. Amen. I was going to start today's sermon with... I decided against it because I thought, you know what? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to say, you know what, guys? When I was a young man, I had a drug problem. And I was going to quit and pray. And I thought, no, they won't hear a thing I said. But the drug problem I had was a good drug problem. Because when the church doors was open, my mom and dad drug me to church. Huh? Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if the church was open, I was drugged there. Okay? That was my drug problem as a young man. But I thought, you know, if I did that before I prayed, probably phones would be going off. You don't have to tell us. It's not really gossip. It's just like you're giving somebody something to pray about, right? I mean, that's what it is. It's not gossip, right? But I decided not to do that. But I am a recovering sinner. Huh? I am a recovering sinner. Did anybody look at the bulletin this morning? See what the title was this morning? The spiritually gifted body of Christ. If you look at the bulletin, there's some stuff there. There's some verses of Scripture. We're going to get there. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 12. I thought maybe Dwayne was going to steal my thunder. He went to Romans, but he went to 8, so we're good. So the Lord figured that out pretty good. I guess the thing that's on my mind, Paula did a devotions on the body, how awesome the body is, how God has made us. Pretty impressive. It's a pretty impressive piece of equipment. And it's more sophisticated than anything I've ever designed in our whole life. Computers, bar none. This body is impressive. God made it pretty awesome. And that kind of got me to thinking, and then Matt was talking about, you know, what's love got to do? I thought sure he was going to sing that last. What's love? I thought sure he was going to do that, but he didn't. I was looking forward to that, Matt. Maybe next time. All right, brother? All right, cool. So, you know, love has everything to do with it, right? God's love for us. Isn't that cool? So, long story short, this is where we ended up. I thought, you know, we need to understand that as a body, we are the body of Christ. Each and every one of you are part of that. Each and every one. And you're a vital part. And that's the neat part about it. Even when I have three brothers who are diabetic, my oldest brother has lost some part of his feet, different things, you know. He had to have his big toe cut off. Couldn't stand up. He'd fall over. You can't see my big toe. I can't see my big toe. It's in a big ugly boot. But without that big toe, I'd fall over. It's the same with the body of Christ. Without you, there's a part missing. Isn't that cool? So we're going to go to Romans chapter 12, see where the Lord's going to take this. I'm really kind of excited to see what He's going to do because I don't really know. Romans chapter 12, it says, I appeal to you, verse 1 says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. I read that from the Amplified. And I was looking at that a couple weeks ago in Sunday school. We brought that up, and I couldn't remember the verse. Les had asked me, and I couldn't remember what it was. So I looked it up. It's just kind of where I am. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Be not conformed, be renewed by the changing of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." And I was looking at that, and the neat thing about that is, how do we do that? How do you get renewed? How does your mind get renewed? You've got to feed it, right? Got to put stuff in it. And this is the stuff we put in it, right? And you know what really touched me on that? When I was looking at that, that verse right there come up. But that's the fruit of the Spirit, right? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these. And I thought, why is that? Why are you bringing that up, Lord? I got to look at that. Why are you bringing it up? And you know, it hit me. A fruit of the Spirit, you can see the fruit. It's a love, it's a joy, it's a peace, it's a patience, it's a kindness, it's a goodness, it's a faithfulness, it's a gentleness, it's a self-control. It's something you can see in somebody, right? You can tell that, right? But you know why the Lord brought it to my mind was, how do you treat yourself? I'm my worst critic. Are you your worst critic? When you look in the mirror, you go, man, you're getting ugly. Whew, man. Huh? Do you ever do that? Or you go, you're stupid. You are so stupid. You're stupid. That's not fruit of the Spirit, guys. When you do something stupid, which I will, I mentioned to you, I'm a recovering sinner, right? I'll do something stupid. I'm my worst critic. But you got to remember, don't criticize yourself. Let's do some love and some joy and some peace to yourself. You know what I mean? When you look in the mirror and say, well, you are ugly, but, you know, there's some good qualities there still. You know what I mean? And then I do this. I go, you're looking better. Huh? You're looking good. Now, yeah, I can barely see, but you're looking good. Huh? No, don't do that. But I guess I wanted to bring that up there because if you're going to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, don't just think of it as an outwards thing. Think as an inward towards yourself. We're our worst critic. Let's go on. We got a long way to go. Man. In verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate," oh boy, "and think of himself more high than he ought." And the Amplified says, "not to have an exaggerated opinion of your own importance, but to rate this ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him." So don't think of yourself anymore. And I'm pretty good at not thinking of myself much of anything. And truthfully, I can tell you that. I'm probably the worst person you ever met to probably cut myself down. Actually, I actually am. I maybe don't sound like it, but I actually am. When I look in the mirror, I know me. I know me. And I'm thinking, I don't know how people see that. I know me. I'm not a nice person. I'm not a nice guy. I mean, I've done some bad things. I've done some really bad things. And that would disqualify me from being up here teaching, right? No. You know what that does? That makes me have a heart more for you. Because I know I'm going to mess up just like you're going to mess up. And I can bring God's word to you knowing that I've been there where you're going to be or where you've been. That's pretty cool, isn't it? And I said all that in the first three verses to say this. Verse 4, "For as in one physical body we have many parts, and all these parts do not have the same function or use." Verse 5, "So we, numerous as we are one body in Christ, and individually we are parts of one another." Wow. Amplified says, "mutually dependent on one another." Do you understand that you are the body of Christ? Christ is the head, you are the body. Isn't that awesome? Listen to that wind. Isn't that awesome? Don't you just love it? Whenever I hear wind like that, I think of the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, that's pretty cool. But I'm stupid, see? I'm a stupid guy. And that's what I think. And when I hear wind like that, where I live, there has been in the last 50 years where I live, there's been 5 tornadoes within mile, one way or the other, come right through. Come right through. And it's like, wow, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Tornadoes is pretty awesome. I've seen stuff flying in the air. There's paper. No, it's a barn roof. Wow, that's the power of the wind. And the power of the Holy Spirit is set that way. It's that's when you see the Holy Spirit, when the power of the Holy Spirit, it's set like a wind. It's a big, strong wind. Isn't that cool? The Lord must know I was going to preach on that today, huh? Pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So we're one body, having gifts, verse 5, having gifts. And this is where we're going to get into this. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? You even have a clue. I don't know what mine is sometimes. I wonder, like, boy, you're stupid. Is that a spiritual gift? No, don't say that in here. Huh, must not be a spiritual gift. But when we stand up here and we sing, and I praise the Lord, it's like something just, it's like, man, I got to roll my sleeves up because I get all sweaty and hot. It's wintertime. I get hot. It's like, man, that is impressive. Praise the Lord. And He allows us to. You know what I mean? I'm not worthy, but He allows us to. And then I hear Dougie playing the guitar, Julie playing the piano, and Jamie saying, it's like, that is so cool. I'm humbled by their abilities. Huh? And I think that is a gift, isn't it? I think that is a gift. Praise the Lord. And I thank Him for that. Verse 6, it says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given us, let us use them. Gifts, the spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit gives you. There's something that God gives you. It's a gift. It's a spiritual gift. What is it? I talked about the big toe. Without the big toe, you fall over, right? You don't realize how much that thing stabilizes you until it's gone. And you fall over. So each and every one of you are a vital part of the church. And maybe you're not up here. Maybe you're not singing. Maybe you're not standing. Maybe you're doing something that nobody even doesn't know you do. Huh? It's a vital part. My heart's beating. Yeah, it's beating. My heart's beating. Can't see it though, can you? Can't see my heart. It's in there somewhere. I'm not sure where it's at. I guess it's in there, right? Might be really small because I ain't got much heart. I mean, I'm really small. But it's there. You can't see it. But without my heart, I'd be dead, wouldn't I? The body of the church is the same way. Without what you put into it, it's lacking something. Let's go on. Let's see. What kind of gifts we got here? It says, there's gifts given to us. Let us use them. He whose gift is prophecy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of his faith. Verse 7. He whose gift is practical service, let him give himself to serving. He who teaches, to his teaching. He who exhorts or encourages, to his exhortation. He who contributes, let him do it simply and liberally. He who gives aid and superintends with zeal and singleness of mind. He who acts of mercy with genuine cheerfulness and joyful eagerness. Wow. You fit in anywhere in there? Fit anywhere? Verse 9. Let your love be sincere, a real thing. Hate what is evil, but hold fast to that which is good. The Amplified says, hate what is evil, loathe all ungodliness, turn in horror from wickedness. But hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection, giving precedence and showing honor one to another. Pretty cool. There's a lot. We've covered a lot here in these few verses, haven't we? We looked at a lot of stuff. I ain't touched or heard any of it. But chapter 8, 12 here, verse 11 says, never lag in zeal and in earnest endeavor. Be aglow, burning with the Spirit, serving the Lord. Do you feel like you're aglow with the Holy Spirit? Some days better than others. When we're singing, that just seems like it's just, wow. That's impressive to me, you know? And that's what he's saying here. Don't lag in zeal. You want to be on fire for the Lord. You don't want to be boiling over. You want enough heat to make it practical, but you get too much heat and it boils over, right? When we're cooking stuff on the stove, what happens when it boils over on the stove? I get to clean it up. It's the same thing. If we boil over too, we can just share the love of God. We can share that. And then there's times you just got to put a little bit of a damper on that, right? I had some people come to my house Friday. Older couple, knock on the door, open the door, and the guy says, do you believe that the Bible is relevant to today? I said, brother, you better believe it. And they're like, huh? It's like, praise the Lord, isn't that awesome? Can we come back later? Sure can. They left. I'm like, dude, what was that all about? I think they were Seventh-day Adventists. I think they were scared of me. Huh? I didn't have a gun or nothing. I think they were scared of me. But I told them, I said, praise the Lord. The guy's like, whoa, this guy is out there. And I thought, and this hit me. It's like, wow. But I he had a good question. Is the Bible relevant? I'm like, yes, you better believe it. Huh? I scared them away. Maybe they'll come back. I don't know. I didn't want to scare them away, but they did. They left. Anyway, so I had a little bit too much zeal, I suppose. Maybe a little too much. I don't know. A little too excited. I don't know. They may have thought I was on drugs. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But this verse, I was studying this, and this verse really came to me after that. I thought, man, be a glow for the Lord. Yeah. Mm. In verse 12, it says, rejoice and exalt in hope, be steadfast and patient in suffering, and tribulation, be constant in prayer. I don't like that verse. Can we take that out? Can we take that verse out? But it says, rejoice and exalt in hope, be steadfast and patient in what? Suffering and tribulation? I don't like that verse. I don't like that verse. And be constant in prayer. Hmm. Do you understand that as a body, you're all separate parts of the body of Christ? And you understand, when my big toe hurts, everything, I'm on the back, everything going, ooh, 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 right? Everything has to take up compensation for that toe hurting, right? We should be the same with each other here in the church. When someone hurts, we should be there for them. We should be taking up that slack, right? That's what it's talking about here. And this is part of the body. And it's saying, being patient. Huh? That's not patient, is it? I work with a guy. He's a young guy. He goes through several pairs of safety glasses a day because he chews the ends off them. I'm like, dude, what is your problem? Huh? He's just like that. I'm like, dude. I was like, dude, you're chewing your. I mean, what are you doing? He's just hyper. You know what I'm saying? He's hyper. And I'm thinking, pretty good. I mean, nice enough kid, but he's hyper. But I think about that sometimes. You know what I'm saying? He's just hyper. Anyway, I don't know where that was going with that, but I'll keep going. But I guess what we need to understand is when we're talking about the spiritual gifts, you are given a spiritual gift to help the body. Isn't that cool? Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Gosh, we got a lot of stuff to look at. Romans chapter 4. I didn't tell Julie about Romans chapter 4, so I'm sorry about that. I lied to you, didn't I? See, I had stuff. But it's not my fault, thank God. Because he gave me more verses, so that's where it went. So there's nothing I can do about that. When he gives it to me, I have to do what he tells me. Well, I'm supposed to do what he tells me. Romans chapter 4. In verse 17, it starts out, we're talking about Abraham here. Everybody knew who Abraham was. Abraham was the... Most Jewish scholars believe that Isaac was the first Jewish person. He was promised, God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child. Abraham's 100 years old, Sarah's 90. Anybody looking forward to being 100 years old, maybe having a child? Sounds like excitement, doesn't it? Sounds like it keep you on your toes, keep you really generous. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm thinking the same thing. I'm thinking, man, that's just bad. I wouldn't want to be looking forward to a child at 100 years old. I don't even be able to get out of a chair at 100 years old. You know what I'm saying? But he was promised this. God promised him. He said, Abraham, you're going to have a son. I'm promising you this. So as we go down to verse 17, talks about it. For Abraham, in verse 19, I'm going to start there. He said, he did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which is as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Mm. Or the barrenness of Sarah's womb. She's 90-some. No, verse 20, and I like this, no unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong, was empowered by faith, as he gave praise and glory to God. What? He's 100 years old. Isn't that wind awesome? You guys are liking it, ain't you? I see. Everybody's going, yeah! Woo! Yeah! Huh? Wouldn't it be awesome if God would tear the roof off and look in at us? You know what I'm saying? But I'm thinking, man. And you know, that's just a little wind. You know the one that controls that, loves you? Wow. Really? You mean the one that controls that loves me? Yeah. The one who controls this awesome Ohio weather? Dude, isn't that cool? I love it. If you don't like it today, wait. Tomorrow it'll change. It's cool, right? Where can you go and have that kind of change? Nowhere, right? I love Ohio. It's snowing one day, raining the next. Hot one day, cold the next. It's great. Huh? See, I told you I was stupid. You didn't believe me, but I told you I was stupid. Let's keep going here. Verse 21, it says, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had promised. Wow. Abraham was fully assured that God was able and mighty enough, big enough, strong enough, powerful enough to do what he promised. Isn't that cool? And what's verse 22? That is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Yours maybe says imputed righteousness. Huh? That's what started this whole sermon. Imputed righteousness. I started looking at imputed righteousness. Imputed, you know what imputed means? Big word. You know what it means? It's actually a negative type of word. It's really bad. Imputed righteousness. Imputed means it's in three steps. It collects all the charges and remissions that you have. The totaling of these debits and credits totals them all up and then places them of the balance or credit to one's account. So all the bad stuff I did gets credited up and applied to this account. It's all bad, right? But in this case, because it's imputed righteousness, it's because of the faith that Abraham had. You say, well, I don't have Abraham's faith. I don't have his faith. I don't either. But I don't need Abraham's faith. I got Abraham's God. Huh? Really? I don't have to have faith and say, mountain, you move. Still sitting there. Now what do? I ain't got faith to move mountain. They says the faith of a mustard seed, and the mustard seed is the smallest seed there is. So I ain't got no faith, right? But I can go, boy, you're big. Man, you're powerful. My faith's in you. It ain't about me. It's about him. My faith has to be in him. He's the big one. Huh? He's the big one. So Abraham, because his faith was in God, God imputed. He took that as a credit and put it to Abraham. Said, Abraham, I'm making you righteous. Abraham was a dirty, filthy guy like me. God said, I'm going to make you righteous. And he does the same thing. Right here. I want to read you this. But, verse 23, but it was credited to him, written for, but the words it was credited to him were written not for his sake alone, but they were written for your, my sake. Really? You mean that I have imputed righteousness because I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? He was the Son of God. He was nailed to that cross and died and rose from the dead on the third day with power. Woo! Huh? Then I have imputed righteousness, same as you do, because you believe in Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I'm going to read this from Amplified. It says, righteousness standing acceptable to God will be granted and credited to us also who believe in God to raise Jesus our Lord from the dead. Isn't that awesome? Huh? You have imputed righteousness. What's righteousness mean? It's right standing with God. It's like I can come up here and go, hi God, how you doing? He's like, hi son, how are you? Or you can say, hi daughter, how are you? Good to talk to you today. It's awesome to see you. Huh? Been working on your life last night. Pretty awesome. Got some stuff planned for you. Are you ready? Huh? No, don't do that, God. I don't want that. Huh? We have a lot of trials come into our life, don't we? Anybody ever see people run track hurdles? You got to run and jump the hurdle. Pretty impressive, isn't it? I'd probably kill myself out there, you can probably imagine. But it's pretty cool, right? Your life is like that. We're running on this track. Now, they don't just go out there and say, you know what? I think I'm going to run the 100-yard dash today with hurdles. How stupid would that be? That'd be pretty stupid on my part, wouldn't it? Because I'd be laying on the ground by 100 yards, and probably be wore out, huh? After I killed myself, run across 3 or 4 hurdles, right? Life is that same way. God is preparing you with all this stuff, and some of this stuff is bad, guys. And that's one of the reasons I didn't do what I did. You know, the drug problem. I know a lot of people have a drug problem. They've come out of that. And that's recovery. They have that. They struggle with that. They fight with that. But God uses that. It's like running this hurdle, running down through this, and I come to the hurdle. Do you stop and go, boy, that's a hurdle. I can't go around this way, the lane there. I can't go around this way. I'll just sit down here and look at it for a little bit. What I'm going to do? Is that what we do? Is that what God planned us to do? What do you do to a hurdle? What do? You jump that thing. Woohoo! Yeah, I could tackle. I just tackle, roll down, and go to the next one. But I couldn't jump over it. It hurt myself, right? Somebody come tackle that thing. I kick that thing down and go through, right? That's our life. When you come up against a hurdle, if you look in the bulletin, see underneath all the stuff that's written there, it says, what is it? E plus R equals O, right? A lot of people, I've heard people say, they use this at work a lot, but it applies to our spiritual walk. E is an event, right? We all have events in our life. We can call them an event. It's just a really nice way of saying, trouble! I got trouble in my life! Plus R, a reaction to the event. How do we react to that hurdle? Now, there's been days when I come up against a hurdle and I'm, God, why? Take it away. He's like, you are sorry, sap. You're so sorry. Don't you know I'm here? Can't you feel my presence? Can't you know that I love you? All right, God, what are we going to do with this hurdle? Huh? You ever get strong? You ever get the feeling powerful like that? Like, this is a problem coming against me, and I can't do it on my own. And I'm like, what are you going to do about this, God? Let's do something. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. Let's do it. Let's go. Let's do it. Huh? That's how we should attack our problems in our life. I don't do that. That's how we should. Because we know that God has got our back. And this hurdle, what's this hurdle here for? It's to strengthen me. To make me strong, is to build me up. Why? So I can go, look at me. No! It's so I can help you! Isn't that cool? That I can go through this trouble, I can go through this pain, I can have all this heartache, I can have this stuff and deal with it. And come in and just praise the Lord like, yes! Woo! He's on it! Huh? Pretty exciting, isn't it? I know I'm stupid. It's pretty exciting. And I look at these troubles, that's what they're coming against us for. We've all had problems, right? We're all going to have problems. Stuff's going to come against you. I don't want to read that verse that says, count it all joy, be patient, pray at all times, doing good. I don't want to know that, God. I want it fixed now. And God's like, oh, son, you're so simple-minded. Don't you know I'm giving you this thing to build you up, to make you strong, so I can use you? So when you mess up singing, yeah, I'm human. I'm sorry. I mess up singing. Sometimes we get to singing, and I just get to singing, and it's like, you shouldn't have sang that way. You messed up. I can't help it. And you can all look at me like, yeah, he's stupid. And that's okay, because I'm okay with that. Because if God told me to stand on my head and eat peanut butter and sing up here on the stage, I would do it because He's going to tell me to. Wouldn't sound very good, though, would it, probably? But if He told me to do it, I have to get to the point where I'm saying, you know what? He's got it. I don't like this life. I don't like where I'm at right now. I don't enjoy where I'm at right now. I just don't like it, God. I don't like it. He's like, I know. And I've been there too. I've been there too. But this is going to make you stronger. And I'm going to use you for something awesome in the body of Christ. Isn't that cool? Huh? That's pretty cool. Let's go on. And I was going to stop there. But then verse 25 says, who was betrayed and put to death because of our misdeeds and were raised to secure our justification making our account balanced and absolved us from all guilt before God. You know, this word for justified is only used twice in the New Testament. It's both used in Romans. This book, Romans. You know what justification means? It's the act of pronouncing you righteous because all your sins are acquitted. Isn't that cool? When Christ raised from the dead, He took all your sins. He took all my sins. He said, you know what? When you stand before God, and you hear that wind blow, don't be afraid because I'm here. Isn't that cool? Chapter 5. Therefore, what do we do that, Les? Therefore, when there's a therefore, we have to figure out what that's there for, right? Therefore, since we are justified through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him also we have our access by faith into His grace, in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us rejoice and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Moreover, Amplified says, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exalt and triumph in our what? Good times. This is, let us enjoy. Let us exalt and rejoice in good times. Is that what your Bible says? Good times? What? Let us rejoice in our sufferings. Whoo! Knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patience and unswerving endurance. Wow. You mean to tell me that all the troubles I went through in my life, I've been in some bad places in my life, guys. Been some dark places in my life. Been some mean places in my life. Bad places in my life. You mean that all those places? I had some stuff going on in my life 20 some years ago. Bad stuff. Mean, nasty, heartbreaking stuff. And I got asked to sing. No, I don't really feel like singing. Yeah, come on, sing with us. I don't really feel like singing. I'll sing. Wow. You know, because I was heartbroken, because I was in misery, because I was hurting, singing really opened up to me because of that. And I could sing with emotion that I would never show you any other time. God used that time in my life to bring me to where I am today. When I look back at it, I know that's where He was taking me. I didn't like it at the time. I didn't enjoy it at the time. It hurt at the time. But now I look back, I wouldn't sing the way I do today if it wasn't because of that. Isn't that something? So when He says be joyful in our troubles, the reason you're joyful, you're not joyful in the trouble. It hurts. It hurts. The reason we're joyful is we know that we're going to come through it. God's going to bring us through it. And we're going to be stronger because of it. Our endurance is going to be stronger because of it. Our patience level is going to be stronger because of it. God's taking us there. Isn't that cool? In verse 4, it says, in endurance develops maturity. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. Listen to this. Verse 4 says, in endurance develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Isn't that cool? Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Am I the only one that thinks it's cool? That is cool! Huh? You mean all these troubles and stuff? I can be joyful knowing that, I'm still saved. I can be joyful. All the stuff coming against me, I can be joyful because one day I'm going to make it to heaven. Isn't that cool? All this stuff that we deal with here in this life, it's going to be trivial. I raised four children, helped to raise four children. When they come to them teenage years, when they're in the teenage years, this day my life has ended. You're looking at them like, what are you talking about? You know what I'm saying? When you come to a if something happens in school, I'm not making fun anymore, I'm just saying this is something I've noticed from my kids. It's like, my life is over. It's like, it looks like you're alive to me. I mean, as an older person, you look at it like, really? I mean, that's silly. But to them, at that point in time, is death, I'm going to die. Right? It is. You know it is. I went through with four different kids. Like, what is the matter with you? It doesn't amount to nothing. Can't say that, though, can you? No, you can't say that. You have to be there for them. But when they get older, they'll understand that, boy, that wasn't that big of a deal. You know what I'm saying? We're the same way. As adults, we're the same way. We go through something, it's like, and God's like, what is the matter with you? You know what I'm saying? I think God says that to me a lot. He has reason to. He does have reason to. He says, what is the matter with you? Huh? We talked about E, the event. We talked about R, which is your reaction. We didn't talk about what it equals. That's the outcome, right? When a problem comes against you, we talked about jumping hurdles. When a problem comes against you, what's your reaction to it? Do you take it to the Lord and say, listen, this is a big thing. This is big. I need some big help here. Big help. What's God do? Does he leave you hanging? Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? But he doesn't. He's working on it. That's the thing with trouble when they come against you, and when you come through a problem and you look back and say, okay, I can see what God was doing there. When I went through my issue in the singing, I can see what he was doing there. I didn't like it. I didn't like what he was doing there. I didn't like what he was allowing to happen to me there. I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. It was a hard time. I lost a lot of sleep. I lost a lot of weight. It's really a good thing. I lost a lot of weight worrying about this stuff. Looking back at it now, I'm thinking, God meant it for my good, didn't he? He meant it for my good. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Talking about spiritual gifts. I want to read you this. I want you to see this. I want to read this to you. Spiritual gift is a skill or ability that enables a Christian to perform a function in the body of Christ with ease and effectiveness. Wow. What's your spiritual gift? What's your spiritual gift? Spiritual gifts are given by the Lord. We know that, right? We read that in Romans chapter 12. Spiritual gifts are given by the Holy Spirit. You have a spiritual gift from God. Do you know what it is? I wonder sometimes if I know what mine is. I never see singing in here, do you? Spiritual gifts are given by God. These gifts are spiritual in nature, too, also. I see people that are good car salesmen. I mean, they could sell a refrigerator to an Eskimo. You know what I mean? You've met these people, right? You've seen these people. We don't really have much to sell in the church. Not material stuff. We got something to share. God can use that gift. Maybe you make an awesome evangelist, you know? I don't know. I don't know what that is. And maybe you're going to scare somebody off your front porch. Maybe. For whatever reason, God didn't want me talking to them people. And I wonder about that. Was I not ready? What the deal? They want to give you information. Pamphlets? You ever see them do that? Do you know they pray over that stuff? So it'll affect your life. They didn't give me a paper. And I think of stuff like that. I look at that and think, Why in the world are we talking to people? Because we're supposed to talk to people about God, right? We're supposed to, right? But that day wasn't for them to hear what I had to say. And maybe God hadn't given me something, what I needed to say yet. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Interesting. Gifts are from spiritual. Third, spiritual gifts are part of who you are in Christ. You don't have to strive for them. Sure, you can get better at a gift that God gives you, but you don't strive for it. It takes away all the... There's no competition. I'm not competing with Les and Matt to preach better than they are. That's not why I get up here. I get up here because the Lord lays something on my heart, and I'm going to bring it to you, and for some reason, I need to hear it. It probably ain't even for you. It's probably just for me. Right? It probably has nothing to do with you. It's just for me. But I come up here, and the Lord gives me something, and I'm going to bring it to you, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to say, isn't that cool? The Lord gave it to me. It comes from the Lord. Two dangers about your spiritual gift. One, not knowing what it is. And if you don't think you know what your spiritual gift is, talk to the Lord about it. He's got a spiritual gift for you. I see some people moving into different positions, you know, and things outside of the church that may be a leadership role in that. That's a spiritual gift. Isn't that cool? It's a spiritual gift you can use for the church too, right? Spiritual gift. Second thing is, what do you think it's going to be like? And I'm going to be very disappointed, I think. No, that's the right word. I'm going to be very hurt when I get to heaven and realize that God had given me so many things and I didn't use them. If God has given you a spiritual gift, that spiritual gift is given to you to edify the church, to build up the church. And that's what Ephesians 4 is talking about. We're going to look at that. Probably won't be able to cover all this, but Ephesians chapter 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal and beg you to walk the life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, living as becomes you with complete lowliness of mind, meekness, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, making allowance because you love one another. Do you ever feel like you're a doormat? People walked over you? You ever feel that way? Just me. I felt that way, but you know, when you look at this, it's interesting, and it says to be meek and lowly and gentle, patient. The Greek word picture of this is pretty awesome. You all seen wild horse on TV? I mean, they're wild. You can't control that horse. I mean, jumping and bucking, and you seen guys ride these horses? And you know, but that's a wild horse. This picture of gentleness in the Greek is not, it's about a wild horse that has been broken. That horse is still as strong as it was when it was wild, but it's gentle, it's meek, it can be used. And that's what God wants for you. He wants to use you. So when you feel like people are walking over you, I always go back and read what the Lord Jesus Christ suffered, because, man, I mean, this was God. That wind out there, man, that's God controlling that. It's God. Can you imagine that? People spitting on him? Wow. Tearing out chunks of his beard? Slapping him? Beating him? Imagine a crown of thorns down on his head? Can you imagine God? Who could have said, done. I'm out of here. I'm done with this. He very well could have. He was so powerful. He controlled his power and went to that cross and died there for you and me. That's all. And that's what this is trying to say. We're going to have to skip a bunch of stuff, but I want to go down to verse 10. Let's just full go to verse 11. He's talking about gifts. Talking about gifts, right? And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. And this is the Amplified. The difference, interesting difference between Romans 12 and Ephesians 4. Romans 12 is talking about spiritual gifts given. Ephesians 4 is talking about actual people with gifts. Isn't that cool? Actual people. It's actual people with gifts. They were given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. Verse 12. His intention was the perfecting and full equipping of the saints. You mean God gives people spiritual gifts for the full intention of equipping you and me, saints, the church, the body? The work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, church. Wow. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really mature manhood. I'm going to put womanhood in here too. The completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and the completeness found in Him. Wow! You mean we have your spiritual gift is for the edifying, the building up of the church, other people in this body? Yes! So we can be what? We can be more like Christ. Isn't that cool? The Message. Philip Yancey wrote this thing. It's just, he passed away, I think, here recently, didn't he? I think I heard about that. But the Message is the Bible in contemporary language. Okay? And I want to read you this. I want to read this to you because I like the way he put this. Is it not true that the one who climbed up, and I'm going to read a little bit before here so you get the... Okay. He handed out gifts above and below, filled heaven with his gifts, filled earth with his gifts. He handed out gifts of apostle, prophet, evangelist, and pastor teacher to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work, working within Christ's body, the church, until we're all moving rhythmically. Until we're all moving rhythmically and easily with each other, efficient and graceful in response to God's Son, fully mature adults, fully developed within and without, fully alive like Christ. Isn't that cool? Huh? Do you understand that you're actually keeping something in the body if you're not exercising your gift? Isn't that cool? Huh? I had to bring this up today because I always give Tim a hard time about getting up here. Tim is not that guy, okay? He is not that guy. But I see him back there with little bags of animal crackers giving it to the little kids, and just he's just that guy. You know what I'm saying? That's his mission. That's it. That's his ministry. That's his gift. Isn't that cool? Huh? Nobody sees that but me. I see that up here because I'm standing up here. If you stand up here, you might see that. Nobody sees him do that. But that's cool, right? And I see other people doing things that nobody probably knows they do, but they do. And I think, that's Christ's body working together rhythmically, easily, so we can all be alive like Christ. Isn't that cool? It's pretty cool. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon today, you need to figure out what your gift is. Try to apply that gift to your life. And when you apply that gift to your life, God will use you to build up the church. Isn't that cool? I need you. I need you. I need your gift. I need your spiritual gift. Each one here needs your spiritual gift to build us up so we can be alive like Christ. Then we can work together. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning. Father, I don't know half of what I said, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit was there and using my mouth to efficiently speak your word, that we can understand, Father, that you have given us a gift that only we can have. You have given us a gift, Father, because you love us, and because your Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, that the Holy Spirit could come and indwell us, and those gifts could be brought out in an awesome power, strength in you. Father, I just look forward to what you're going to do in this congregation. I look forward to who you're going to touch. I look forward, Father, to what we're going to see people do, and it's just going to be awesome. And we're going to give you all the praise, and we're going to give you all the glory, because you are so worthy of it. Father, we praise you. We thank you. Father, as we come to this part, we're going to sing a song. We're going to praise and magnify you. Father, just touch each other. Team come forward. I think this might have died. Sorry. Battery might be getting low. So praise team come forward. We've got a song to sing. And I'm going to come over right now and turn this off.